Today on the Music City Audible, we're covering Titans players who need to step up and show out in joint practice with the Seattle Seahawks. Some of them just to give us peace of mind, some of them to earn a starting role, some of them just to make the roster. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast presented by Prize Picks. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, joint practice tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. Central in Nashville. Excited to see how this team looks in their second big test against a legitimate Super Bowl contender and the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. How you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. Safe to say, this joint practice with the Seahawks, in my opinion, might be the biggest event left in the offseason calendar. Now, hear me out. We know they take joint practices more seriously than they do preseason games. They've got two more of those left, of course, against the Seahawks this Sunday in week two, and a finale with the Bears. And I know they're practicing with the Bears next weekend before the preseason finale. But with that being so close to cut down day and you know, preparations for week one, I think this joint practice with the Seahawks is probably the most important event that they have left on the schedule, the offseason training camp schedule before cut down day. Myself, and I bet Robert Saleh, is putting a lot of stock into this joint practice with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that Bears joint practice will probably be sometime next week, probably same timeline as this one, given a preseason. The preseason finale is next Saturday. So it's probably next Thursday for the joint practice. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this is your biggest test against the best team you're going to see in this preseason window. And what a great set of work all of these joint practices are for these guys, especially the young guys, the Fernando Carmonas of the world who are, you know, trying to become rookie fifth round starters. And we'll talk about Carmona in a little bit, but let's dive right in. Guys that need to step up. We'll start with the peace of mind category that I teased in the intro, Justin. How about the passing game? Just the passing offense. Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, especially assuming he's back at practice on Friday. Robert Saleh said he had just woke up with stiffness, and so they held him out, which sounds like we're holding him out so that he can join Friday's joint practice. But all the guys in that room, Wandale Robinson continuing to do what he's doing, team high 8 catches in yesterday's practice. He leads all Titans players in catches for all of training camp so far. Let's see that continue to, the connection to continue to flourish there. And other guys like Elik Iyemanner. I want to see Elik Iyemanner make plays against a very talented Seahawks secondary that now has the highest paid cornerback in the NFL in that room in Devon Witherspoon. They just added Trayvon Diggs. I don't know if he's going to be fully up to speed enough to compete at a high level, but we'll see how that works out. But mostly it's not even about the weapons. It's about Cam himself. Can he be in control? Can he play on time? Can he deliver accurate passes? And can this Titans offense move the ball against what is a really good defense? If you remember last year, different, obviously, Titans, different staff, entirely different offensive staff, a lot of different personnel on the offense. But Cam Ward had one of his best games against the Seahawks in the regular season last year. So can he take some of that momentum and carry it over into practice?
Well, great point. And I think it obviously starts with Cam Ward for many reasons other than he's the most important part of this team. You know, yada, yada. You can ding me for it if you'd like. But the reason I'm starting with Cam Ward is because he wasn't very good in the preseason game against San Francisco, right? 5 of 12, under 50% completion percentage, missed 3 or 4 throws. Like, that wasn't the showing we have come to expect from Cam Ward this offseason. Yes, he bounced back the next few days at practice against his own team. But remember, indications were he wasn't that great in the joint practice against the 49ers either, you know, leading up to that preseason game. So when you look at where he's been at against the only other team he's faced in joint practice and the preseason, small sample size, but wasn't good enough, right? So here's his second opportunity to practice against another team, defending Super Bowl champions, as you said, one of the best corners in football, one of the best defensive head coaches in football in Mike McDonald, and just a really stout defense in general. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to put those lackluster performances against the 49ers behind him and say, hey, I'm getting ready and I'm on the right track as we get ready for week one, because it's coming up real quick.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about some of the areas where he can improve, and it's not just the timing and the accuracy. It's also like sometimes he rockets those passes over the middle in there too quickly. Wandale Robinson spoke about this earlier in the week after one of the practice, I think after Monday's practice, and talked about how like there are times where he will go up to Cam and say, "Hey, you can take some heat off of those passes." Like he said, there's a difference between having the ball get on you quickly, like you turn around and it's there, and the ball getting on you quickly and traveling 1,000 miles an hour into your hands. I know some Titans fans have put the idea out there that these guys need to go call Brett Favre's old receivers and say, "How did you catch all these passes from Brett? The ones that were breaking your fingers and stuff like that."
And this was a topic for Cam Ward last year. Like you and I debated, and we were kind of on his side when we said they've got to catch them. But let's be honest, it's interesting to hear a guy like Robinson come in who wasn't here last year, who's caught 200 balls over the last 2 years in the NFL, and be like, "Whoa, you are putting a little too much on some of these." So he's got to take that feedback and apply it, and it's something to watch. We've talked about the passing game in general. The reason I wanted to highlight Carnell Tate is because
Carnell Tate.
Bit more of a delay there than I hoped for. You'll probably cut it out. The reason I highlight Carnell Tate is, look, context is everything, but yes, he had zero catches in his preseason debut. I don't think any of us were expecting that. Now, I thought that was more of a Cam Ward and operation of the offense issue. I mean, he should have absolutely hit him on that simple out route where he was a little sped up on it and missed him. If he's on time and accurate, that's an easy completion. That was the intention of that play, was to get an easy completion to Carnell Tate. Didn't happen. He ends up going catchless in his preseason debut. Obviously, he misses Wednesday's practice with the stiffness. We're operating under the assumption right now, by even talking about him, that he's going to practice against the Seahawks. We hope he practices against the Seahawks. But because, you know, things didn't exactly go according to plan in his, you know, week one preseason showing, I think he's got to make this list. And as you said, he gets to go up against Devon Witherspoon, hopefully the highest paid corner in the NFL. Josh Jobe, who is a good starting caliber corner in this league. But then they've got some depth issues. That's why they went out and got Trayvon Diggs. That's why they're trying to sign Terry and Arnold and whatever's happening there. But some good opportunities for Carnell Tate to get some quality work in, assuming he participates.
Yeah, that would be good to see too. And again, the timing, the accuracy, we just want to see a functional passing game in this practice. And, you know, talk about joint practice, like Jermaine Johnson earlier this week also, he said joint practice to him, it's like a game. He said it basically is a game. Like, we treat this like a game. We want to go win against these guys. You know, there's no bring them to the ground tackling, but other than that, well, this is a game to us. So I want them to take that mentality. I want to see Cam Ward take that mentality. You're going to get about a game's worth of reps in this practice against another defense. So let's see how they perform. The last guy I want to mention here, I did mention already, but Elik Iyemanner. I think if he can continue to stack days and have another standout practice where he is stepping up, guys who need to step up, the theme of the episode here, he has a chance to really work his way into a heavy role in this offense. His press conference yesterday, Justin, I mean, I would just encourage everybody to go watch it. I am going to play a clip of it in a bit. It's not even about Iyemanner, but just some of the stuff he's talked about, his growth, his professionalism, his ability to understand where he needs to improve, the writing down his goals for the day, going through warmups to get his body language, his steps, his body lean, all the things correct. Like, he just sounds like a guy who has gone from a rookie, a little out of his like preferred role as a starter, as a fourth round pick starting rookie, into like a professional receiver. And I just want to continue to see that growth, because I feel like, I don't know, 6 months ago, I was pretty lukewarm on Elik Iyemanner's NFL ceiling. Today, I'm sitting here thinking, can this guy be a T. Higgins light, a high level number two wide receiver? I said light. A high-level NFL receiver in this league, number two receiver. Not, I don't think he's a number one. That's why you went and got Carnell Tate. But I really think he and Tate can form a pretty fearsome outside tandem if they give him the opportunity. And then when he does get the opportunity, he's got to take advantage of it. So let's see him go take advantage of it again against one of the NFL's best defenses. Cam Ward's going to get a lot of disguised looks, a lot of disguised coverages, a lot of pre-snap, post-snap rotation and movement that he's going to have to recognize. And so let's see how it works in a situation where he doesn't have to worry about taking sacks, because, I mean, obviously we don't want him to take what they call a sack, but in terms of like mentally, he doesn't have to worry about taking a big hit. Let's see how he executes in this practice. I'm pretty excited to see this measuring stick for the team. I'm also not going to panic if they are terrible, but that's just me pre-making an excuse so I don't have to be sad on Friday afternoon.
I think we're all a lot more excited about Alek Iomanner than we initially were, because I don't think a lot of people foresaw him having the type of camp he's had. Like, he's been totally transformed, and that's exciting. After the break, we're going to talk about the biggest concern for the Titans right now, what everyone's talking about, the secondary, and how we hope they look against this Seahawks offense after this short break.
Justin, let's talk about Prize Picks a little bit, because tonight, Thursday night, we got NFL preseason action, and I am super excited to put a lineup together. I know it's preseason, but I'm going to be watching tonight, and I'll tell you why.
Listen, there's no better place to run your game than Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. What you got tonight, Graver?
Well, look, I know it's just preseason and most people don't care, but when you play a lineup on Prize Picks, you start to care a little bit. So I'll be caring. I'm taking less passing yards, less than 55 and a half passing yards for CJ Stroud, less than 41 and a half passing yards for Brock Purdy, and more than 27 and a half passing yards for Justin Herbert. I think playing the less plays here in preseason works to your favor because guys don't play as long as you think they will. But Justin Herbert's projection at 27 and a half passing yards, I do think he goes more than that.
I especially like the Stroud pick because I imagine Houston's going to want to work the run game a little bit. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Picks app, use code CLNS, and get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup.
Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha Steaks because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak because it is steak ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF. BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back. All right, Justin, let's talk about another group of players on this Titans roster who really need to step up in this joint practice. Maybe they need to step up more than anyone else just because of how things have gone so far through training camp. Like, let's ease the panic in the fan base a little bit by, I don't need to see them shut down the Seahawks passing offense. I just need to see improvement from where we were last week so that we can start to track gradual improvement from 49ers joint practice to Seahawks joint practice to Bears joint practice to real game week one, Titans versus Jets. So let's see that progress starting to take shape here. Robert Saleh has spoken about this almost every time he's been at the podium, it feels like, because the press keep asking about the secondary concerns and are you concerned and does Cordell Flott need to be better at the catch point? And Robert Saleh went on a long answer about how it's like what you're seeing play out downfield actually starts at the line of scrimmage and you got to win at the line of scrimmage, especially when you're up in press. And it's just been like the talk of training camp, I think, from a negative, for if you look at a negative angle of Titans training camp thus far, there was Cam Ward preseason week one. Most people have sort of written that off. Nobody's writing off the secondary concerns except for, it feels like, me. I might be the only one saying like, yes, I understand it's going to take time. So let's see. Can the Titans secondary step up? Obviously, nobody expects them to shut down Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Cooper Kupp and Rashid Shaheed and Torrey Horton and the depth of wide receivers that this offense possesses and Sam Darnold, second year in Seattle, but first year in new offensive coordinator Brian Flores' system. Flory, I believe, spent 7 or 8 years with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, so we might see some similar offensive concepts.
There was also a bit of care, like Darnold was in San Fran as a backup with Flory, so at least he knows him a little bit.
That is a great point. So what I'm getting at here is that the secondary should see some similar concepts to what they saw last week. Can they defend them better this week against the Seahawks?
And I didn't look this up, but you've got to assume Saleh and I mean, obviously they cross paths, Saleh and Fleury. So they know, certainly in 20
last
this past
year.
Season, right? So Know each other well. Good point. Something I hadn't really considered.
Fleury was in San Francisco from 2019 to 2025. Saleh obviously was in San Francisco from
17, twice, right? Yeah, before he left for the Jets and then when he came back. So obviously know each other very well, coached together for a number of years. That should help both teams, you know, prepare a little bit better than typically speaking. Right. Listen, the joint practice against the 49ers, I mean, some 49ers beat writers were saying Brock Purdy almost didn't have a ball hit the ground. Like, it was easy pickings against the Titans secondary. And then you get to the preseason game and Curtis Rourke is 12 of 14 against the starting Titans secondary. So that's where a lot of the concern has come from. I've got a great interview dropping tomorrow morning, Friday morning, with Marcus Harris. I asked him about the performance against the 49ers. I asked him about this secondary and what have been the challenges about learning the system, what he likes about the coverage rules. He gave me some really good stuff. That's going to publish on Titan Size tomorrow morning.
Nice.
But yeah, I want to see them step up. Listen, and I'm kind of worried, specifically in this joint practice, I'm saying I want to see them step up, but I'm also worried they might not. Like, listen, one-on-one wide receiver DB drills, I've always said, favor the receiver. You know, you're not really rushing the quarterback. You're not trying to sack the quarterback. It tends to be an unfair environment for the DB. And then when it's going to be Jaxon Smith-Njigba against, you know, Cordell Flott or Alante Taylor, heavy, you know, advantage in Seattle, you know, for Seattle and for JSN. So we want to see it. I don't know that we will. You know, I hope we will. just a couple of wins. Just don't lose every rep, right? Like, right. I think my expectations are fairly low, but also realistic. Like, I expect Seattle to win the day, but mix in a couple of pass breakups, mix in a couple of good defensive plays. Heck, can they get a turnover? I don't know, but you know, this is a huge, huge test. And like Cooper Kupp, Rashid Shaheed, this is one of the better receiver rooms in the NFL, and a quarterback who I think is super comfortable with those targets, even if the system is new under Brian Fleury. So, I mean, we say iron sharpens iron. I mean, the Titans, like, you're not going to get better in the secondary by hiding from competition, right? So I love that they're doing this joint practice with the Seahawks. And I want guys like Flott and Taylor to feel a sense of urgency, you know, based on what they've heard, you know, in the media. I'm sure they're paying some attention. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of put up or shut up time, if you will.
I mean, Titans fans may remember or you may not be aware, but Alante Taylor tweeted like 2 or 3 weeks ago, 18 and 24 going to be the best cornerback duo in the league. We'll come back and talk about how we did it after the season or something. It's like, you're not off to the best start. Now, granted, real football has not started. So I'm not like, again, I'm giving them the chance to learn the system and take their time doing so. But I do want to see some progress. On the other side, Justin, guys who haven't been struggling in the secondary that I want to see step up, continue to step up, and potentially ascend to like Robert Saleh's next superstar safety guy. Can Kevin Winston Jr. continue to stack the days that he's been stacking? Jim Wyatt has said that he's been one of, if not the best defenders in Titans practices, and that's on a practice that includes Jeffrey Simmons. So Kevin Winston Jr. has been physical. He's been all over the field. He plowed through Alec Iaminer about 2 weeks ago and injured Iaminer's shoulder. Luckily, there was nothing wrong with Iaminer, and he was able to get back on the field the next day for the Nissan Stadium scrimmage. He injured Carnell Tate in Monday's practice. Apparently, Tate avoided any kind of serious injury despite the tightness he experienced yesterday. Let's see Winston take out his aggression on another team and stop hitting his own guys. And I want to play a clip here from, I mentioned Alec Iaminer gave a tremendous press conference. Again, I would recommend every Titans fan who cares about this team at all to go listen to Iaminer's press conference from Wednesday. He took about 12 minutes of the video time. There's three guys that speak for 20 minutes, and Iaminer spoke for 12 of them, so do the math there. He just gave such thoughtful answers. I'm like super impressed at his ability to just like be open and honest with the media. He's not
Canadian.
Sugarcoating.
I'm not too, it's my expectation. I'm not super impressed. That's just the Canadian way.
That is, I guess. But it's really nice. It's refreshing to hear him. Like, he really takes his time. He thinks about what he's saying, and he delivers like a long, thoughtful answer. And he was asked about Kevin Winston Jr.'s aggressiveness in camp and if he appreciates it, if it's annoying to go against it, if he is worried about getting hurt playing against this guy. Anyway, here's him talking about what Kevin Winston Jr. has done for him, for the defense, and for this team overall, for Cam Ward overall so far in training camp.
Yeah, we have like a running joke in the receiver room that like I'm always glazing Kevin, because I just like genuinely to me like that's something that I have a lot of respect for. Not necessarily like the hits where you know we're getting hurt, but the mentality that's an after effect over an effect of, because you know he's not doing it on purpose. He's not trying to hurt us, but he practices so hard every day. And that's something that I have a whole bunch of respect for. I think like that's what brings you, or that's the habits and the process you have to become a great player. And it makes all of us better. It makes Cam better because he's got to understand, like Kevin feels like he's not going to get there, but he's going to get there. And so he has to layer the ball right. He has to, you know, control him with his eyes more. And so him playing like that every day, I don't want to ask anything less of him. Like, I want him to do that every day.
I mean, the fact that he's talking about how the level of play that Winston's bringing to practice is making Cam Ward a better quarterback and dropping F-bombs in the process. I mean, obviously, the funniest part of this is the funniest quote of training camp so far.
Glazing Kevin.
I mean, come on, bro. Nick Suss wrote a great article this morning for the Tennessean talking about Kevin Winston Jr.'s aggressiveness in practice, and he quoted Iaminer in the piece, and he wrote this quote in his piece, but instead of writing glazing, he wrote over complimenting in parentheses, and I'm like, I tweeted at him like, over complimenting. Come on, Nick, what did he really say there? But I love it anyway. This is about Kevin Winston Jr., not about Elik Ayamaner saying completely ridiculous things like
always glazing Kevin.
But yeah, I want to see him continue to step up against a really big challenge in this Seahawks offense.
Love the shout, and I love that you cut that clip. What a great, thoughtful, and insightful answer from Elik Ayamaner. Seriously, the glazing is hilarious. But listen, year two, Winston, you and I both high on him. This defense, in order to reach its potential, they need him to be the guy we think he's capable of being, right? They're counting on him to be a full-time starter. That was not the case this time last year. He wasn't even healthy this time last year, right? And they had a veteran safety in Xavier Woods, who was an unquestioned starter opposite Amani Hooker. So a lot of faith in Kevin Winston Jr. for him to kind of grow and seize this role. And yes, I imagine everyone involved, including Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, Elik Ayamaner, they're all excited to watch him hit someone else since he's seemingly accidentally knocked a couple Titans receivers out of practice over these last, you know, 10 days or so. But yeah, he's got to go out there and practice with the same violence and intention against the Seahawks. There's no reason to think he won't. If he's doing it against his own teammates, certainly he's going to bring some fire to tomorrow's joint practice. After the break, we've got a slew of Titans players, miscellaneous, if you will.
A slew. I love the diction, Justin.
A plethora of Titans players who need to have a good joint practice against the Seahawks on Friday after this short break.
Welcome back. All right, Justin, let's go through some guys, some more roster bubble guys, I think, and some young guys who have a chance to continue earning their way into the rotation, potentially even into the starting lineup. We'll start with the obvious young guy who already seemingly has earned his way into the starting lineup, and that would be right guard Fernando Carmona, fifth round pick. Now look, Carmona's been getting a lot of great tests, a lot of good challenges going up against Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers, and the other Titans defenders in training camp so far. By the way, just a quick correction on yesterday's show. Yesterday's practice for the Titans was the 12th of training camp. So 12 practices against these elite defenders that Carmona's gone up against. And now he hasn't gone up against all of them every day because he didn't start training camp with the ones. But he's been doing it lately. Well, the Seahawks offer, I mean, if we think the Titans have one of, if not the best, defensive tackle duo in the NFL in John Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons, the Seahawks certainly challenge that notion with Leonard Williams and Byron Hookham Murphy coming to town tomorrow. So let's see if Carmona can continue to hold up. I'm not expecting him to win every rep. I'm expecting him to continue to find areas that he needs to keep improving on. He talked about it yesterday at the podium also. He spoke and he said something along the lines of like, it's nice to hear the praise, but I know what I need to work on. In fact, you know, the coaches in the meeting rooms are putting film on screen and telling me and showing me where I still need to improve. So I know I haven't arrived yet. I know I still need to keep working every single day, which is obviously the mindset you want to hear. He's going to have a chance to keep working against another set of really tough interior defenders in tomorrow's practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of this Seattle defensive tackle duo rivaling what's in Tennessee. I mean, Leonard Williams was voted number one, the ESPN's list this year, best D tackles above Jeffrey Simmons.
Obviously, erroneously, but yes.
None of us agreed with it. And here's a stat that I love throwing out that I don't think most people realize. Jeffrey Simmons was first among D tackles and sacks last year. I believe Byron Murphy was second. It was a breakout year for the Seahawks second year D tackle who had some injuries in his rookie year. Couldn't ask for a better test outside of Tennessee, outside of practicing against your own teammates for Carmona. I was going to make a comment about how he was speaking at the podium and that's a big deal. But then I was reminded by myself that Jackson Slater spoke at the podium at like the first training camp practice. And then Cordell Volson spoke a couple of practices later. So I'm not going to put as much stock as maybe I once did into who's speaking at the podium. But we've clearly reached the point where we know that Carmona is going to win this starting job. It would be stunning if he didn't. But yeah, great test for him against that duo in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy that we think needs to step up also on the interior, just a different category, but I'll name two guys in one here. Cordell Volson and Austin Deculus. It's like step up or you will find yourself not on the Tennessee Titans roster come September. So let's see if these guys can show some improvement, just be better players. Don't get Mitch Trubisky and Will Levis quote unquote killed. Obviously they can't get killed in a practice because nobody's tackling, but you know what I mean? Like, I just need to, we just all need to see more from these two to secure their spots even on the roster. The most recent updates out of training camp are that Jackson Slater is working as basically the first backup interior swing guard slash center. He's been getting reps at all three of those interior offensive line spots, and he's second up right now, which is a great development for the Titans' fifth round pick from last year to go be, you know, a high level backup is a win for a fifth round pick. Obviously, becoming a starter like Fernando Carmona is a bigger win, but they're both wins, Justin. But that, given that case, that means Cordell Volson has fallen to third in the pecking order at the guard position. And this is the guy they brought in to be like the potential like floor raiser. Like, if nothing else happens, at least we have a guy with a lot of starting experience in the NFL. Now it's trending towards this guy. I mean, based on the way he's performed, we don't know how they view him and value him behind closed doors, but based on the way he's performed, he's trending towards not making this roster. So if anybody really needs to step up for their own personal sake, it's Cordell Volson. And everything I just said about him, you could say about Austin Deculus as well, who has been leapfrogged on the depth chart by Brandon Crenshaw Dixon.
Yeah, so I'm not hopping on the bandwagon that's going right now that Cordell Volson's getting cut. I don't believe that that's going to happen. They also gave him $2 million in guarantees, I believe, in his contract structure. Okay. So it is a bit more complicated than people realize. I saw like A to Z Easton. I think they, in their 53-man roster, they had him cut in favor of Andre James. I mean, let's have some fun. Like, I might be wrong. I highly doubt that happens. Number one, because Volson, again, more guarantees in the deal. And number two, Jackson Slater and Pat Coogan are both going to make the team and can play backup center. Do they need a third backup center in Andre James? No, I think they'll take a backup guard in Cordell Volson. So I'm curious to see if it's Volson or James that ends up making it. I still think Volson makes the team, but he's definitely trending down, has been bad. Our worst fears confirmed. Like, we didn't love it when they signed him. We had question marks about his capability of being the starting right guard. And all those concerns have been proven true. He's been really, really disappointing. Deculus is a guy that I agree is definitely on thin ice when it comes to, you know, he doesn't have the guarantees in his deal that Volson has. He's been really bad. He's been leapfrogged by Crenshaw Dixon. Deculus is definitely a guy that I think is in danger of being cut. Like, I used to have him on my 53-man roster projections. I don't think I'll have him anymore. I'm going to drop one or two more before cut down day. Downright bad. I'll quickly throw Crenshaw Dixon into this conversation because this joint practice matters for him too. Like, as a guy who has leapfrogged Deculus on the depth chart and is trying to win the number three swing tackle job, how about going against, you know, a Derek Hall and a Uchenna Nwosu? Who else they have in that edge room? I'm forgetting. DeMarcus Lawrence, a veteran. They just brought in Dante Fowler recently. There's one of those rooms that don't have a lot of high-end talent, to be blunt with you, but just a lot of good, effective guys, and they rotate them a lot. So I think Crenshaw Dixon's going to see a plethora of rushers in that joint practice, and how he responds could go a long way to determining how much faith the Titans have in his capability to be the swing tackle.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Justin, other guys that were looking to step up in this practice include Titans rookie linebacker Anthony Hill Jr., who reportedly had a great day at practice yesterday, continuing to stack good days. Remember, he had a 2-interception day a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, he had 2 pass breakups, a stuff in pass defense, according to Jim Wyatt. He was also in on a forced fumble alongside James Williams. He's been around the ball a lot, and that's the way he played at Texas. Robert Saleh was asked about, you know, him always being around the ball, and it's like he's always got things to improve on, but he's shown the ability. I think Teron Davenport tweeted yesterday that Hill was picking up crossing routes over the middle of the field and taking away that option from quarterbacks, not necessarily always breaking up a pass, but preventing a pass from even being thrown, which I would argue sometimes can be better because you force quarterback to hold onto the ball, allow defensive line to get home potentially. So he's continuing to play well. In the preseason game last Thursday, it was when they had 3 linebackers on the field in the first quarter to start the game. It was Cedric Gray, Cody Barton, and James Williams. But James Williams played deep into that preseason game also, which was interesting to see. I think the Titans have 4 starting caliber linebackers on this roster. And I want to see Anthony Hill Jr. continue to prove that he belongs in the rotation. And I think he's done that thus far, but now he's got, again, another challenge. He's got to continue to stack days. It's not about what he did 2 weeks ago in training camp. It's about what he does on a daily basis. Every day matters. So I want to see the rookie continue to make strides.
I love the shout for Anthony Hill. It seems like he's trending in the right direction. And specifically to the joint practice with the Seahawks, like, what are the challenges? Well, I imagine he's going to be tested in coverage. Seattle's got a very underrated tight end duo in A.J. Barner and Elijah Arroyo, like a guy they drafted in the second round last year, Arroyo, who I think is probably going to play a bigger role for them this year than he did as a rookie. Can Anthony Hill, again, we talk about pass pro for running backs, right? Like I talked about that with Nicholas Singleton yesterday, earning the trust of your staff. Well, I think the flip side is true. Like for a rookie linebacker, I think being able to play a little bit in coverage goes a long way towards earning the trust of your staff. He's had a couple interceptions this offseason, both in OTAs and in training camp. He looks the part. He's fast. He's long. He's explosive. He's sideline to sideline. Definitely. And I really love what's happening in this linebacker room with James Williams also stepping up. Obviously, we know Cedric Gray is who he is. Cody Barton brings something different to the table in terms of like veteran leadership, maturity, and football IQ. I'll close out this conversation if you don't mind.
Oh, wait. I wanted to comment one more time on the linebacker room. I just want to say quickly, this is starting to look like a Robert Saleh linebacker room where everybody's making plays at the position. And I think that that's no coincidence after they brought him in as a head coach.
No doubt about it. I'll close it out rapid fire, only one name. But I want to quickly include Femi Oladejo in this conversation because, as you noted, he made a play or two in the preseason opener, one of those unblocked plays in the backfield that he made. I think Titans are still figuring out who's going to play the majority of reps at edge. I think everything's up for grabs. And Robert Saleh's talked about him so much this offseason. Really, I think, in truth, and I'm not trying to be harsh, but has almost shown more confidence in him than maybe he's earned, at least through his on-field play as a rookie. But I think that's great. I think it's important to, get his confidence going in the right direction. So show how much you believe in him, work with him. Well, the Seahawks got some really good tackles. I think Charles Cross is one of the top 10 left tackles in the NFL, and he's being paid like it after his recent extension. They got a good right tackle too in Abe Lucas. So definitely curious and excited to hear what comes out of this practice in relation to Femi Oladejo. Just want to see him make plays. We're all rooting for him. It's what a big deal it would be for this defense if Femi Oladejo can be a serious, serious contributor. So excited to continue monitoring his progress.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great shout. I think it's a good point that he's been shown more confidence, at least in like speaking when Robert Saleh talked about him. When I said yesterday, he raved about him on the Rich Eisen show. He's raved about him at the podium. He's talked about his.
There's been a little glazing of Femi Oladejo by Robert Saleh.
I'm always glazing Kevin.
I can't believe he used that word in a press conference. The press corps started laughing at the press conference. And again, Nick Suss wouldn't even print the word in the Tennessean this morning. So,
which I think is crazy because, listen, I know what everyone's thinking. But like, hey, Krispy Kreme glazes their donuts, right? Like, I don't think it has to be only thought of in the context that it's being thought of in.
Well, especially for young 20-somethings who use it to mean over-complimenting, which is, again, the word that Nick Suss used in the article to replace the word glazing. Like, obviously, there's nothing. I mean,
maybe Alec Iomanner's been watching MCA lately, a very veiny-like compliment.
Right, I was going to say, look, football terms have double meanings very often. This glazing's not necessarily a football term, but, certainly applies in this category. Anyway, Justin, I think that covers the players that we want to see step up in practice tomorrow, joint practice with the Seattle Seahawks. Practice starts at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time at Vanderbilt Health Performance Complex Center for Sports Center, Improvement. Yeah. I'm never going to call it the right name. It's turning more into
St. Thomas Sports Park. It'll always be St. Thomas Sports Park for me.
Just like they'll be playing at Adelphia Coliseum on Sunday night, Justin. And so that'll do it. So we are going to go live. This is a minor update, scheduling note for our audience. We are going to push our stream 15 minutes. We're going to go live at 10:45 a.m. tomorrow. which gives us just 15 minutes worth of like, look, the way these practices start. Yeah, practice starts at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. That means they're going to do 20 minutes plus of like warm-up, stretching, individual work. But by the time they actually are scrimmaging against each other, it'll probably be 11, maybe 11:15 even Central Time. So we'll be able to come on the show 10:45, introduce everybody, talk about stuff, maybe talk about Discord. Maybe, depends on how quickly these practice notes come out. And then we'll be live recapping, basically a live play-by-play recap of the joint practice with the Seahawks. And then we'll be back on Monday morning to do a preseason week two recap, debrief, like unloading our takes from preseason week two.
We'll have a plethora of thoughts based on what happened Sunday night.
A litany of
as Graver mentioned, the only reason we're delaying the stream by 15 minutes is we envision tomorrow's live stream almost functioning as a live blog. You know, like, Alante Taylor just picked off Jackson Smith and Jigba on a one-on-one. I'm trying to wish that into existence. But in order for it to function as a live blog, we've got to be here for long enough to do it. And, you know, no one really knows when they're going to start scrimmaging. Like you said, first 15 minutes, they're going to be stretching, you know, yada, yada. You can ding me for it again. So that's why we're going to go live 10:45 a.m. Central. The goal is to start as close to meaningful practice reps as possible so we could hit the ground running quickly. Again, it might be 15 minutes, might be 20. We don't know when they'll actually start scrimmaging. But that's the reason we're delaying by 15 minutes. Nonetheless, we'll see you there tomorrow, 10:45 a.m. Central.
Justin, you talked about Femi Oladejo and you...
I think a lot of people are forgetting about Femi.
Didn't hit the drop. I'm disappointed
in you. I actually
thought
about it when we hit the other drop, when we hit the new Alec Iomanner drop.
Anyway, you can close the show out now. Sorry.
We'll be back tomorrow, 10:45 a.m. Central, with your routine Friday live stream. Do whatever you got to do to be there. Quit your job. Leave your wives. Get into fights with your family. Do what you got to do. And if you got to suck up to your wife a little bit so she'll let you be there.
There you go.
This thing needs to take place. You do what you got to do to be at the stream Friday, 10:45 a.m. Central. Until then. Y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.